All right, we're just going to start talking because there's a lot to talk about this week. We're back, Multiverse Unlimited podcast. I think this is episode 90. Really? And somehow we got here. Yeah. Who we got? We got Jay and Rob is back. So it's going to be three of us tonight. We're going to jump into it, right? So there was some news this week, you know, Silver Surfer will be a woman. And the actress who is playing the character of, what's Silver Surfer's girl name? Shalabal?
Yeah.
So Jay's awake. We'll be played by Julia Garner from Ozark. I've never watched Ozark. Yes, I know.
So that you need to watch that.
Yeah, that's what people have been telling me. She will be playing an alternate version of Silver Surfer.
Nobody cares about.
Yeah. So. On a, everybody likes Silver Surfer. Like, he may be, like, maybe number 5 out of 10 for me. Like, Surfer was, especially in the 90s when Ron Lim was drawn, was where I walked in on that. Surfer was really just, honestly, he's just flying around, you know, and he was helping people along the way. Yeah, he was just chilling, most laid back. Hero most of the time, but there was some disappointment with this news this week. I think we all had a knee-jerk reaction, I think we call it. But let's start with Jay. Jay, what's going on? What are your thoughts here, sir?
I just, you know, it's par for the course now with Marvel. It's like they're doing everything possible to make the movie suck. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And people are going to be like, oh, it's an alternate version. It's going to be like in a different universe. They're going to bring Fantastic Four in, and then it'll be, you know, or the Silver Surfer that we want to see. Like, just give it Silver Surfer. Stop, Stop fumbling the bag. You're fumbling the bag, Marvel. You're fumbling the bag.
So let me ask you if, because, you know, we only know a little bit about a little bit. Like, everything's rumor. What we do know, this woman is going to be involved as Shalabal, the Silver Surfer, Norman Rad's girlfriend. All right, we can say that. If the scenario I see, alternate version, she dies, they make it to.
No way they're going to kill her. They're not.
No way they're going to kill her?
0% chance.
Okay, so in case you weren't aware of what has been flying around about the movie Fantastic Four, a couple months ago maybe, they said that it'll take place in the 60s. Now we're hearing an alternate reality 60s, another, you know, version of Earth, of our reality, and the Fantastic Four will end up in the 616, or the main continuity, MCU. So, Jay, before we move on to Rob, did you have anything else you wanted to add to?
What else is there to add? You know, we're getting the typical, like, if you're not with it, like, you're the misogynist dude. So, I don't know what else to say. It's like,
so I'm gonna let Rob go, because like I like the fence is like sticking me up the ass right now, so like I'll let Rob go, and then I'll go. What do you think, Rob?
Like, I don't have an inherent problem with them pulling a character like that. I understand you know, they have a lot of to pick from, and they want to get a Silver Surfer in here. And I know that they just have a hard on for diversity at all costs at Disney, but why they just, they know that everybody wants Nora and Rad. They know that. Everybody knows that. But why do they have to go through such efforts to not give the people who watch their movies what they want, you know? It's very strange to me. Like, I don't think it's going to be that big of a problem. The character's probably not even going to have a big role, honestly. But the only reason why they're bringing out news like this is because they want people to react to it. That's the only reason I can think of that they would. So early on, I mean, the movie hasn't even begun production yet. And they're already throwing out something that they knew was going to cause controversy.
Yeah.
So the MCU has gone the way of the shock DJ now, is what you're saying. And they're mm-hmm. putting out these hot takes. They're like, let me see what they're talking about when they've just about used, they burned through all of their benefit of the doubt with yeah. people at this point.
No more goodwill.
So I saw and I. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I have no. Let me just say, I have no problem with no female leads or whatever. Like, I'm all for it. Listen, I play Horizon, Tomb Raider. Like, I ain't got no problem with nothing.
Yeah, we love Aliens, Terminator. All we love stuff. Aliens.
All of it. If it makes sense. But as here, I'm gonna show you. No, Silver Surfer fan. I'm a Silver Surfer guy. Okay, like
I didn't notice he was a bobblehead when he brought him on the first time.
So. You know, my favorite heroes are, you know, Batman, Thor, and then we got Hal, and somebody else is in there. But then it's like, it's Silver Surfer for me.
He's in your top 10.
Yeah, he's in my top 10, securely in my top 10. So, I can't. If you're like a surfer guy, a Norn Rad guy, more specific, because everyone has lost their power or someone's assumed their mantle at some point, you know, you want to see your guy on the screen. You know, like Surfer came out, he's got to be over 30 years old, maybe 40?
More than that.
He came out in the 60s, didn't he?
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. So. Granted, there was the Rise of the Surfer movie, but MCU is supposed to be like the big leagues, and you want to see your guy. I'm hoping this leads to Norn Rad in this galaxy, in this reality, in the main continuity. But Jay did have a point there. He said they're not going to kill her. And he might be right, because it sounded, like he said, par for the course. I don't know the last time they've actually killed a character of any importance in the MCU. Like, R.I.P. Chad, that wasn't their choice. They kind of...
Well, that was their choice, too.
They didn't have to. But I guess we're in the wait and see. But this, we'll see. I know people are upset.
Marvel's getting into a bad spot because they're, mm-hmm. at least with me, they're getting to the point where I'm just starting to be apathetic. Because, like, you're happy, like you're excited for stuff to come out, then you're just like getting angry with all the bad choices, mm-hmm. bad movies. Now it's just like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, show me that you don't care. Like, I don't care. Mm-hmm.
They burn through their credit with you. You don't trust them.
Nope. I'm waiting. I'll wait for DC now. Come on, James. What
you trying to do? Yeah, and it's
DC to start dropping stuff.
Yeah. Yes. And this is why Warner Brothers. All you had to do was just like. Believe in your plan and like stay with it, and y'all could have been eaten up right now. Could have been eaten.
Yeah, they could have.
Yeah, it's you're like I'm tired of the juice boxes. Let me go and watch the Darkseid invade the planet. It was like, it could have been anything at this time, but
now we have another year to wait of apathy, and who knows how people are going to react to James Gunn's new movies.
Right.
On top of, it's, you know, everything that Disney's been shitting out on us.
Yeah, and the one thing with Gunn, you know, there's hope there, and I think everybody was is still hopeful for him because they're actually working now. But you know, the last good Marvel movie was directed by Gunn. Like Guardians was good. The last one was really good. I there was no letdown with that, and we'll see what the DC house does, but. The Silver Surfer news is conflicting. It's confusion. It's uncertainty. Yeah, maybe we're overreacting, but I doubt it.
You might be. And it's like Marvel's like, I don't know, Disney is so big on trying to hit all the diversity points. They have like aside from like Black Panther. They have one of the best characters to just like throw the diversity and like the, I don't know, like the virtue signal, like throw all that into a movie and fit perfectly, and they're not doing it. His whole history is civil rights era bigotry. Like, they could do that and it wouldn't conflict with anything in the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You could have the character, he has a badass villain. You have all the Avengers can come and show up, like.
Yeah, and you want to know what for the hot and cold that the show got? Like Luke Cage was there, street level dealing. Like you could have evolved from there. I loved first season of Luke Cage. My man was just walking the block. He was taking down crack houses and you know stopping robberies, like doing all you know this. You know, you want to see how different people lived, you know, get into the culture. The music was different. The look was different. And some of the issues were so relatable, you know, mm-hmm. depending on where you're from. I don't know, man. It's.
Then they killed Cottonmouth.
That was a mistake. I don't know if you heard my plan. What they should have did for Defenders should have been a gang war between Cottonmouth and Fisk, and that would have brought. I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm crazy. I'm like, is it really that simple? Like, you know, just do that. You know,
way better than wasting Sigourney Weaver.
Who we ain't had a single inkling she was on the way or involved in any kind, and she was head of the hand.
Right.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
No martial arts skill.
Who does that? Like, we need a boss for the hand. Like, what's Sigourney Weaver doing? Like, not even like, I don't know, man. Somebody who fit the bill a little. Why couldn't it be, what's the woman? The old woman that was always around with Fisk. It should have been her.
Gal.
Honestly. Yeah. Madam Gal? Was that her name? Gal? Yeah, Gal. Yeah, so.
That would have made way more sense.
Yeah. They didn't really say what she was doing. Like, you know, we just know that Fisk always made sure, like, she was okay. Like, she wasn't mad at him or whatever. I don't know, man. Sometimes I'll be thinking I'm crazy. Like, well, maybe they're. Seems too simple. But anyway, with the diversity, all comic books, the publishers have, I think they've made sure that they're able to touch in different areas, DC and Marvel. You know, you want to talk about women leads or certain cultures. Like, all you got to do is just look up, go in a comic shop, just look, talk to the comic shop owner or talk to the fans. Who would you like to see? Stuff like that. Like, I don't, but it just seems like a forced move. That's what I'll say with Silver Surfer. It seems like a forced move.
They all seem forced.
Granted, like, there's a precedent for it. Like, okay. But it's to me, it's just a force move. We'll see. We'll see if Disney can recoup back the Indiana Jones money with this move. So,
they're going to lose some more.
Somebody's going to, like, do a hostile takeover at Disney. Like, they keep losing money like this. Somebody
Elon looking. He's like,
They already had one takeover that they just quailed. Was that Peltz guy wanted to?
Yeah, was it buy last a year? Bunch
of shares? That's just recently, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think they Bob Iger managed to eke out staying in his position. But yeah, Perlmutter and this other guy are trying to take back the company, and it's like a weird little behind the scenes war going on with shareholders.
They're screwing up. Like, they have all the best properties. They should be having, like, billion-dollar movies, like, left and right. How do you screw up Star Wars and Marvel?
They put too much money into it, and they play it safe, and now they've tainted all the names.
Right? It's gonna go into the history books. It's going to have to.
Sometimes the hardest thing, it seems like, it's just maintaining the course. You know, like, you didn't have to make all of these changes. Like, this is what's worked. You know, you got comic, again, the audience is the comic book fan. Comic book fan will bring everybody else with them.
Yeah, we bring 3 or 4 people with us.
Right. They will bring the other people. Like, comic, you know, the movie should lead you to the books. Like, it shouldn't just be like, forget the guys who are reading the books and going to the movies. Like, we're just going to cater to the casuals. Yes, I'm going to talk like a comic book snob right now, but the casuals, like,
the casuals, you know, ain't showing up.
They're not showing up. They don't see nothing wrong. What are you talking about? This is great. This is great. Again, if it's not for the comic book fan, if a comic book movie isn't for a comic book fan, who is it for?
Right? For everybody and nobody.
All right, so we're not going to... Well, we probably will by the end of the show. Right. We'll stop kicking. The Barbie movie. Say that again.
She lasered in on who that movie was for, and it made $1 billion. They didn't try to make that movie for me or my kids. They knew exactly who that movie was for. They showed up. They made $1 billion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've mentioned this before, and I will say... this as a strike, the one strike against DC, which would have helped anybody making a comic book movie. Like, just look at a book and follow the story. Just follow the story. Like, you don't have to, like, with a book, you know, you got pencil and pen. You can make it expansive as you want. I understand in a studio, you got budget. You can't do this, you can do this. Like, adapt it. You know, like, just follow this. Just follow the map. And, like, Marvel had a well-known map with the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos. Everybody knows that. Knows that. And, like, that, like, kind of held everything together, and they just moved down the road and got to the end, and they were just like, well, there are no more comic book stories. Outside of Infinity Gauntlet, like, we'll just make shit up from there. Like, has since Endgame ended, has any story been adapted for Marvel?
They tried with Love and Thunder, kind of, and they screwed Gore completely up. Like, that was another epic fail.
So
that's like 4 storylines they ruined in that one movie.
Right. And that, so, like, that was too big for an adaption with Gore, and that, because there was time travel in that story. It was three Thors.
Yeah,
it was killing.
God's getting killed everywhere, left
right,
and right.
Right.
And not all off screen.
Right. So you got to make the right, again, bring somebody in that's reading this stuff and, like, how do you think this can be?
The diversity. He had his granddaughters and everything, like.
Yeah, you're right.
And they were badass.
Yeah, and they were looking at him. They didn't know who he was. One granddaughter was about to come at him. It's like, oh my God, that's my grandfather.
But they were, you know, too busy making puns like the Infinity Cones ice cream store, to actually.
I wouldn't want to see Thor with two Mjolnirs. That was one of the illest scenes ever in comics.
Yeah. Yeah.
See him.
Let's go to some fond memories. Let's go into the yearbook here, 10 years, and let's talk about the Winter Soldier, which came out 10 years ago this month.
So, arguably the best Marvel film.
Arguably the best Marvel film, and that's still debated. And that, even though that was 10 years ago, you guys want to talk about memories with the movie, impact, your feelings about Marvel at that time? Jay, you go first. I see you ready.
Oh, it's easy one of my top three. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if it was when I originally saw it. Mm-hmm. But over time, and like that, like after I watched it a few times, I was like, wait a second, this is some epic storytelling here. Like, mm-hmm. You know, it's like, because it wasn't really following the Marvel kind of formula. Mm-hmm. Like, they made their own little way, their little spy thriller kind of, mm-hmm. You know, amped up Steve Rogers, you know, put him squarely into the superhuman category. I was like, okay,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah,
you're taking out whole airships with your shield.
Yeah, like, okay. Yeah. So Cap carved out his part in the universe in that flick.
Because his first film was kind of.
That film. I know a lot of people don't like that film. I like that film.
Like I don't hate it. It's just one of those Marvel like C+ films. You know, it's like mm-hmm. I don't hate it. I don't watch it every time, but you know,
right.
I could easily forget it. Like, it was, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's third out of his movies for sure.
Yeah. But that Winter Soldier, whoo. That's something to remember.
What are the other two?
My top three.
What are the other two from Marvel now?
I'll say maybe Infinity War and maybe the first Black Panther. Well, it's either that or Guardians of the Galaxy.
The one thing
Black Panther kind of started falling. It's falling out of grace a little bit for me. The first one.
Uh huh. Why? Just because better movies or age well? What?
After a while, it just stopped sitting right with me that they downgraded T'Challa as much as they did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know.
So
he wasn't the way he should be.
No, they broke his personality down between him and his sister, and he was too nice. There's no way that Killmonger is coming in there after he already defended it and got him to like hell no, like we should kill you where you stand. Right.
But we'll have to come up with another plan, cuz.
right. Like, it's funny, like the child is cutthroat. He's
super ruthless.
He's super, super ruthless. And
steal your girl too. How many times you try to take Sue? had her up in the lake.
Uh-huh. She wasn't sure what was going on. The one thing I always remember about that movie is, like, everybody was happy. It was like peace on earth when the first, like, everybody was, you know, Wakanda was a real country around that time. You know, it was
everybody's good feeling.
Right.
So maybe I'll put it in top three just because of that.
The impact is huge. The movie, like, Black Panther ain't in my top three, but I like. Okay. What's going on with the film? Like, you ain't wrong for that. My top three might be a little crazy, but Rob, what are your thoughts on the Winter Soldier there 10 years ago?
I still remember it being a really good game, or sorry, not game, movie. Mm-hmm. It I think the further it's gone, I think it just keeps getting better because it harkens back to a day of more practical effects and better fight choreography. Things are a little more grounded and realistic, you know, and not blown out into, you know, space alien proportions. I mean, everything's fine with Infinity War and all those, but this one kind of kept it low key. It kept it close to the chest. It involved the characters and not, you know, an entire nether dimension. The scales, we just kept it close enough where it's easy to follow and it's easy to relate. And it's one of the best ones.
And it wasn't slathered with humor.
Exactly. They knew where to put it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the space that you guys keep talking about, it's like below world ending crisis and like right above street level stories. You know, we were in Captain America's apartment and, you know, he was running around without the uniform for most of the movie. Kind of gave you another aspect of his life, you know, what he was doing when he wasn't with the Avengers and everything. That was a good look. For me, like Winter Soldier, it was like so the Russos and Captain America are a good mix, right? So, like, in this movie, you saw, like, a super soldier, right? Like, there were, like, moments in the first movie. And then in the Avengers movie, like, I don't know if he had enough of those moments. But this one, you know, he jumps out of the plane. Yeah, like, he had a parachute on Avengers. And he was like, I'm just jumping out. And he's throwing the shield around and jumping through buildings and... You know, he's peak Captain America, and it was a good story. The plan with the ships, like that's a little, you know, you put helicarriers with machine guns to take out targets, but we forgive it, you know, like it's like you're like, okay, it's still a very good movie. It's like, I think what was it? Infinity War is number one for me. I love those Guardian movies, and I like that silly ass number two movie, but I don't know if that's top three. So I'm just gonna say Infinity War. I'll put Winter Soldier because I can't think of anything else right now. It's been so long, you know, since we had any really good movies from them, but maybe Winter Soldier in there at two. And maybe a first Avengers movie. I still have a soft spot for that. We talked about impact of Black Panther. I remember the impact of Avengers. Avengers have never really been a household name. I'll admit that. You know, like X-Men, Justice League. Say that again.
We're definitely the B team.
Yeah, and that's not how they were perceived in that universe. You know, it was Earth's Mightiest Heroes, you know. It kind of made them a household name. The 360 shot when the team came together, that always gives me goosebumps. It's never on Marvel, you know, when these posts on Facebook, top Marvel moments. That's might be my top Marvel moment for me. So those would be the top three. It's amazing how far we've come in 10 years, and that's sarcasm there, guys. It's amazing. It really is. I thought phase three was like their best one. And then followed off with that four. Now I do like Civil War better than I have to think about that now. I do like Civil War better than Winter Soldier. Because it was a little more. It was maybe because it was sad. Like I think the fight with Iron Man, Captain America. Like I think it's an underrated fight because they were fighting. There was some betrayal there, and like. Captain America kind of beat his ass.
I can watch the loop of him and Bucky beating Tony's ass for hours.
you know, he
was a little childish on that one.
Who's that?
Tony. He was a little childish.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking as an Avengers guy watching them break up for something that probably shouldn't even happen. Like, you know, I remember this one thing in Civil War, the comic, where it was Alpha Flight, maybe. And somebody was talking to one of their members. It's like, we're registered up here, and it's not a problem. Like, you guys are having an all-out war over a simple, you know, simple practice here. And, you know, I guess it could have gotten worked out. But anyway, Civil War is one of my favorites. And, you know, that movie kind of cheated. It was almost an Avengers movie for the most part. Everybody was in there.
Yeah, it wasn't a Cap movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so those would be my favorites there. But yeah, 10 years, and this is where we are. moving on. got rumblings of Matrix 5. Now, I have faint memories of the fourth one. I remember sleeping through it and waking up in parts, not knowing what the hell was going on. It feels like a Disney move, but it's not. What do you guys think about this? Rob, you go ahead and go first with that.
I'm just trying to understand why, considering the last movie that they made was pretty deliberately a big middle finger to Warner Brothers for making them make a fourth movie. You can tell through all the context about how pointless it is. And where would they even go with a fifth one, honestly? Yes. I mean, it's still too early. We don't even know if Keanu is going to be part of it or Carrie Ann Moss are going to be, because I mean, their powers are linked now. They have to be together in order to use their powers, right? Isn't that the whole thing at the end of the fourth one? Listen, like the power of love, I think, is what gives them their boost or whatever.
As far as the fourth one is concerned, remember when what's the guy who made the deal with the machines? He's like, when you take me out, like, wipe all my memories. Okay, like, that's where I am right now. I have no memory of the fourth one, even though I was there. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember any. I have vague memories of it. Like, there was some kind of video game developer, and like,
wasn't he like flying or walking? And like, I'm just so confused right now. I don't remember. So we're all Jay. What you got the.
You got nothing. Like, okay. They destroyed the franchise with the last one, so why even go, like, mission accomplished? Why do a fifth one?
Yeah, and sometimes I was mentioning this to Rob, and I've mentioned this before, and before I say this, I will give this little disclaimer. There are exceptions. There are always exceptions to, you know, the norm or the rules or whatever. There's definitely a shelf life on when you can make a sequel. All right. If you don't get this sequel out in like 4 to 5 years, like, just forget about it. Like, it's just not worth it. I like the Matrix movies, even the last two, which were money grabs, because the movie really didn't end after the first one. Like, it was over just by what they were talking about, how it ended, and then somebody was like, you can make more money with a trilogy. And like, you know what? Like, okay. And they made those movies, and we all loved it, and they had video games. They had like an online universe at one point. Like, you know, Matrix was making money for a couple years. But this is over. Like, this is it's over. Like, you guys had your run. You should not be out of Matrix money even now. Right. So I'm not going to see this. Like, I'm not even going to watch it on TV. I'll let somebody on the page talk about it, but zero interest. All right. So we're going. Yeah, ran his course. Yeah. Time for bed. We're going to take a break from me talking. I'm going to let Robert, we're going to talk about Ghostbusters and Godzilla. Did you see any of those yet, Jay?
No.
Okay, so you're like me.
I didn't see anything lately.
All right, Rob, tell us what you thought about the films, and we're gonna soak in all the information here.
Let's see. Let's start with Ghostbusters. I think they don't know what they want to do with Ghostbusters. The story was pretty basic. I mean, it felt very derivative of both the first one and the second one. And here comes another ancient item with an ancient evil ghost trapped inside that's gonna, you know, try to take over. The containment unit breaks again. The EPA guy from, I think, the first one is now the mayor and still giving them shit, despite the fact that they know that these guys contain and capture ghosts. Peck is back, yeah. Way too many characters. Way too many nods and callbacks to the first movie. Bill Murray didn't even want to be there. Some of the stuff was good. I think Dan Aykroyd, his character, is really good. The girl who played Phoebe, she's doing really well as a little one. But when you have an ancient evil being taken out by children, it just kind of loses its any kind of, you know, any kind of risk, any kind of, I don't even know how to explain it. It's just felt like, you know, this is like an episode of TV where everything's going to be fine at the end and everything's going to go back to normal like nothing happened at the beginning.
It was an animated Ghostbusters episode.
Just a really long one with more expensive special effects. And for whatever reason, they're still driving around in a 1959 hearse when it's 2024. They did show some new technology because, what's his name? Winston, I think. Since he was independently rich because of all of his stock thing, they started developing some new technology. They had some ghosts in specific kind of prisons to study them. And they also was working on creating an even larger containment unit. But you don't really get to see too much of it. I don't know. They're just, I think they focused too much on all these other characters that they were adding. And instead of the actual plot of the movie where the ghost just kind of ran secondary, I think they maybe only fought twice in the whole thing. And it was like catching one snake ghost at the beginning and then the end. And that was about it. Oh, and Slimer was in there for some reason.
Of course. He's like their mascot. He has to be in there.
Mascot.
They had to give something for Finn Wolfhard to, something for him to do. And that was him trying to capture Slimer.
And were little Stay Puft Marshmallow Men in it? They had to be.
Yeah. And I'm really sick of seeing that too.
Yeah.
They were still in there.
Did they explain why they appear here?
They are the same ones from the last movie. They were just captured and being studied in Winston's lab.
I thought they all like exploded at the end. I don't remember.
I don't know. I don't know, but they, you know, they got to sell those toys.
Okay.
That's their baby, baby Grogu, baby Stay Puft.
So this definitely was not as good as the last one.
No, I mean, it was good to have them back in New York, you know, in familiar settings and everything like that. But I don't know, when it just seems like they're veering too far into just nonsense territory. You know, the first movie, you had, you know, what, four scientists? Well, three scientists and Winston. And then they're all trying to figure out stuff. They still have their old technology. the humor in that movie was, you know, it's dry and but still kind of funny. They were kind of smart about it. And now you just have kids driving around town in the you know, hanging out of the car, shooting particle accelerators into buildings, and not even caring about you know, collateral damage. I don't know. I think it's better than the last one.
I'm sorry.
I think the one before it was better than this one. I like the monster design. He was, you know, kind of freaky. Uh-huh. All the effects look really good, honestly. There's just too many people, and they can't focus on anything with as many characters as they have, because you have all the kids, you have the new adults, you have all the people from the old cartoon, the old movies, and then you introduce Camille Nanjiani as some kind of fire wizard. Literally, he's a fire wizard. You have to watch it. And then they have old ghosts from the library, and they have... I can't think of his name, but there's a few other people that are friends of other people that they introduce. It's just too much.
So I know the last movie did a good job of recreating, the last movie was like a recreation of the first movie. It was just some remixes in there, and it worked. Did they try to do this again with this film, or was it just they were just doing too much? Like, I put it like this: I was surprised that them doing things very similar to the first movie and the last movie got over. Like I had no problems with it when it was very obvious, like down to the music that was playing in certain situations. This one, you're just saying that they were just stretched too thin, and
they were stretched too thin, and they were, you know, they were retreading old movie stuff. Like, they do the same thing with the containment unit breaking, and a light comes out of the top, and you see the little spirit ghosts flying out. We've already seen that. Okay. All the stuff with Peck. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, them just driving in New York. There's a lot of stuff. It reminded me like a mix of one and two, a lot of the old territory that they were treading over, where, what was the ghost's name in the painting in the second
Vigo.
One? Vigo. Vigo, yeah. The Carpathian, yeah. The demon ghost that was caught in the magic ball in this one kind of reminded me a lot of his whole thing, where they got... Because he was trapped in the painting, right? And he was trying to get out of it. And then this guy is trapped in a ball trying to get out of it. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It just didn't work this time.
Yeah, they need to up their game. Be a little more creative, it sounds like.
Yeah. It's funny. It's really funny because Ghostbusters 2 is a strange movie because it came out after the cartoon, and it still works because of the cast, probably, but there's some stuff in there I wouldn't really be trying to recreate. Not like the first one. Okay, so is this something you recommend or skip, or is this a
I would watch it when release? It's on streaming.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a watch. It has some funny parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wouldn't pay money for it again, honestly.
It's definitely a streamer.
A streaming presentation, as I like to say. Okay.
That's right.
Okay. All right. And you got your Mr. Godzilla here. So you saw, what was this, Lost Kingdom? What was this last one called?
Godzilla XCon, the New Kingdom, I think.
All right.
Empire. I think it's New Empire.
Okay. I'm not going to see this anytime soon. So I'm sad about that. Say that again, Jay?
King Kong with a mech arm.
Yeah, the Infinity Gauntlet.
I keep upgrading this technology.
Yeah. So...
So
tell us about the movie. What's going on with this? You can talk about it. I want to see it. I'm not going to see it anytime soon, but it's killing me to know I haven't Googled anything. I don't know anything about the story.
So, I would say out of any franchise that's going on right now that is the most like the Fast and the Furious, it's going to be Godzilla's franchise, because it is going so off the rails the longer it's been existing. Because this movie is freaking bananas. So, for one thing, I understand Kong being as mobile as he is, but Godzilla is like jumping off of things. He's running. He literally does a superplex off of the pyramids to King Kong. Yeah, I'm not even joking.
That's hilarious.
Kong is great in this movie, though. He
beat up a whole bunch of other Kongs with a baby.
Oh, Kong. Yeah. Yes. What? I will send you that GIF. I have it on my phone. I was going to send it, but I didn't want to spoil you guys. But yeah, there's a couple scenes where. Where is it? This one, I think. Is it? Yeah, he gets jumped by these other monkeys, and he is like so ridiculously like strong and confident that he just murks these other monkeys. And yeah, there's the little baby Kong too.
Oh wow. Why is he throwing around the baby Kong like that? Like, what the hell?
Because, okay, so the whole thing with that scene is that was the first new monkey that he saw while he was down there, the first great ape. So he's like, good, I'm not alone. But the little shit bites him, and it's being hella rude. So this was him getting mad and throwing him around.
So where did these monkeys come from? Because there was no sign of anything. What? He was in the same area that he was in Kong versus.
Yeah, so he's in the Hollow Earth, and he's just kind of, you know, wandering around. He's wandering around trying to find anything that's down there. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of starts. There's actually a lot of Kong in this movie.
Okay.
But he makes a trap which catches these creatures, and I heard somebody describe them as man bear pigs, and. I don't know if you watch South Park, but that's what they look like now that I think back to it. And I'm like, so he kills a bunch of those, but it ended up breaking like the ground and opening up a hole to another kind of subterranean area. And that's where Hollow Earth. Yeah, exactly. They're in the third step of Dante's Inferno going down to hell. Yeah. And then, yeah, he ends up stumbling across another kingdom of monkeys, and that's where the bad one is. And at the same time, most of the time, Godzilla is basically getting like this SOS from the Hollow Earth about something that he fought in the past. You'll end up finding out when they look at some ancient hieroglyphs. Mm-hmm. He is like on a quest to like power up. So it's like three episodes of Dragon Ball of him charging a spirit bomb. He's killing like other monsters and absorbing their power, eating power plants, and that's why he comes out all pink, because he is overcharging himself.
Oh boy.
But yeah. I mean, great.
Sounds amazing.
I would say the whole thing with the glove is probably the most contrived thing in the entire movie.
Oh, because
so Kong ends up getting, there's another, I would say lizard. It's not really like a Godzilla, but it's another lizard, but it's got ice abilities and it's being controlled by the long armed ape.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends up, long-armed, you know, freezing. Apes. Yeah. Well, he's like skinny and lanky. Not like Kong as a gorilla, but he ends up freezing one of, yeah, it's kind of like more like that, but he freezes Kong's hand and he gets really bad frostbite. And it just so happens that conveniently that they cut off funding while they had just completed one glove, which happens to be the perfect one for the same, coincidentally, the hand that is hurt. And for whatever reason, it has some kind of magic healing juice in it. So it just goes right on him and it heals his hand, and there he has got a, he's got an infinity gauntlet now.
They need to make him a whole robot suit, a whole mech suit.
I hope this is the last one with those two together, because he just needs to be on his own down in the hollow, where the Godzilla needs to keep doing his thing in the upper surface.
Mm.
And then they bring back Mothra for some reason.
Really?
She's dead.
Yeah,
she died in the second one.
So how did they do that?
They summoned her.
Summoned her?
No, she wasn't even in a cocoon. They just kind of summoned her. And she came out of, like, thin air as like, a yellow spirit and then became Mothra.
What?
In the old Japanese ones, Mothra was always connected to twins, and they could always summon them by singing. I mean, they didn't do exactly the same thing, but it's connected to an ancient tribe that was in the Hollow Earth. It's just a lot going on. But like I said, they're just losing more and more of their reality the further longer these movies keep getting made.
They should have had Mothra be a giant caterpillar. You see it, like, scratch up onto a tree and, like, put a little cocoon around itself.
I mean, it was flying around and webbing all the other apes to rocks.
So, are they going to make any more of these movies? Well, if they make money, they probably will. But would you recommend it? Like,
if they kept them separated, if they focused on a new threat up in the surface that Godzilla will handle, and then if there's another Kong, because he's going to be King Kong now, because he does take over the kingdom of the orangutan was because he went down there and he took over leadership of them.
Okay.
So whatever they were doing down there, he's going to be the leader of them. So he will be King Kong now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think they need to keep them separated for a few movies if they're going to keep this up. There wasn't anything planned, so there was no like post-credit scenes or anything teasing that anything that's going to be happening.
Yeah, that was my question. Yeah. That was going to be my next question.
So we don't really know.
Hmm. Okay. And you said this was a streaming, or would you tell me and Jay to go out and watch it?
I would catch it on Matinee. I would say it's a fun movie. Like, it's fast paced. Like, it keeps going and it doesn't really slow down through the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it would be entertained for the 2 hours, I think is what it is. It's not a super long movie, but I think it was entertaining. It does some silly shit. You kind of lose scale when it's just the monsters in the Hollow Earth. You kind of forget that these are like 300 feet tall creatures, and they shouldn't be moving the way that they are, but here we go.
Alright.
I love stuff like that. I was just watching Battleship, so I love the nice movie.
Stupid action. Yeah, it's got that kind of thing. I mean, there's two scenes where Godzilla is just sleeping in the Colosseum in Rome. He's just curling up in there.
So I definitely know what you mean. Today, while watching Invincible, we'll get to that. I saw Roadhouse, the remake with Jake Gyllenhaal, was available. So I did watch that, and the one thing I remember with this movie is it got fried by critics. And I watched it. The movie was fun. Like, I like Jake Gyllenhaal. I don't go out and watch all of his movies, but if he comes out with something that catches my eye, he usually delivers. Last Watch, Day After Tomorrow, Zodiac, coworker of mine suggested Nightcrawlers. I didn't see that, but I did want to see that. But he delivered in this one. Some movies you kind of just got to be like, this isn't meant to be reviewed as like a movie masterpiece. This was just So Roadhouse, the first movie, I always say it's like a live action video game. Like, the bouncer at this building, like, he's like, they're beating the shit out of these people that are coming and trying to mess up the bar. And, before he gets there, there are people coming in to the bar and wrecking it. Where are the police? I think the cops show up one time in the original movie. And that's when they kill the citizens kill the boss. I think that's the only sign of the police. Now, I may be wrong because there was a fire, so there's definitely a fire department there. But the police don't. They don't come for the break up the bar fights. They don't come to question Dalton while these people are leaving here all with broken bones and everything. And like, it's just the town is like, it's just wide open. It's wide open, and this guy, it's like the 90s, and he's trying to, he's pushing people around, trying to get their land or something, but the people don't call any authorities. You know, it's just, you know, but they tell the bouncer, though. You know, like, this is what's going on in the town, and, you know, like, things have got to change, and da-da-da-da. This movie was, like, it was, Amazon spent money on this movie. You know, they're down there in Florida. The movie looked good. Same premise, except that Dalton was, he was some kind of street fighter or something. Like, he was, you know, he was like,
he was an ex-UFC fighter, I think.
Yeah, he was. And when the club owner found him, he was doing like street fights or whatever. Like, he was feared, you know, like the guy, he came in and the guy was in the ring and just finished beating someone up. And the guy in his corner was like, yo, you know who that is? That's Dalton. You know, Dalton, blah, blah. The guy quit. He's like, I'm not fighting. I'm not fighting him. And he left. And like that's how it went. And then Conor McGregor showed up, and so he has the potential to be he was a world class goon on this movie. He really was. He has some potential if you don't ask him to do too much. You know, he's walking around. He's walking around like this the whole movie. Like, just like this. Like, you know, he's looking.
He's a cartoon character, right, man.
He is. And I swear, he's just walking around. And he's, you know, the fight scenes were good. The story was, like, it wasn't complicated. It was simple, you know. It was similar to the first one. You know, they're trying to get this property so that they can make more money to do this. And, you know, they fight. And that's what happened. I think you guys should check it out in the vein of the original movie. It's true. Surprised. I wasn't expecting a lot, but Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor, everybody involved, it was passable. I was telling Robert before I got on, I would watch it again. It was no one's winning an Academy Award for this, you know. but you were going to watch it. Oh man, that was great. Action was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, one of the things I did want to see, because I heard about it and it sounded interesting, is that the way that they use CGI for the fight scenes in this movie is they had the actors actually punching green screen punching bags, so you can actually see their bodies reacting like they're actually punching something. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed, I don't know how well it translated on the screen, but I heard it was pretty good because, you know, it looks like they're really fighting.
Yeah,
it was hitting each other.
Yeah, it was seamless. It wasn't, the movie didn't have like the, you know, when I say the ridiculous sound effects, I'm talking about like the ones in like, the Rocky movies between Rocky II and Rocky IV. Rocky IV especially, it sounds like Mike Tyson's punch out when, you know, they're hitting each other. And they kind of lost those, that after, I think it started in Rocky Balboa, they got rid of the ridiculous sound effects, and I don't think Creed had it either. But it was pretty seamless. I didn't even know that. And I'm curious, like, if all the fights were like that, because they were pretty good. I would definitely recommend checking that out. You might even be able to keep your son in there, Jay, to watch it. There was no nudity. It might be a couple, depending on how you feel about the cuss words. Like, I don't remember hearing anything like, oh man, you gotta chill out. Like, you know, you look around like, damn, my kid isn't here. I don't recall any incident like that, but, you know, it was pretty good. That's pretty good.
No random boobies.
Nah, no boobies. So, it was a chick involved. She was a nurse. I don't want to say the wrong thing. She's not going to make Junior curious to, like, oh, why is this size and this big? And like, she was a regular looking, natural looking young lady. And it was cool. It was cool.
Yeah, because now Junior's starting. He's in his crush phase.
Who you got a crush on now?
I don't know. Some chick.
Oh, at school.
I'm trying to give him the riz as a young folks. Still,
yeah.
I can't give him all the keys to the kingdom. It's too much power.
You know, like, power. Yeah, it's like you got to let him know early. Son, the worst he can do is say no. Or if you make her laugh, like, you're in there, man. You're in there. It's first step, man.
But you can't do those dumb meme dances on her. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
This ain't Fortnite, son.
Like, what are you doing?
Don't walk in like Conor McGregor. Like, you know, hey.
Trying to dab her. Some girl.
Yeah, don't dab in her face. Yeah. Okay. Well, staying on the Amazon trail, Invincible season 2 wrapped up this week, and there was another good season. It was a lot of threads that were put out there in the first season were picked up and continued in this season. Invincible maintains its claim as one of the better comic book shows, animated shows, on TV right now, through another season. You guys should check it out. There was some multiverse instances this season, and some time travel, and, you know, some people to like take note of how the multiverse works, and, you know. The only bad part I've heard, a couple of friends of mine, they're upset that it was only 8 episodes, and trying to explain that, you know, these things take a little time.
And it wasn't a whole season. It was just a second half of the second season.
Right. It was 8 total. So I was telling Robert, you know, I think the break kind of hurt them. Because I think it dropped before the holidays or between Thanksgiving and December and Christmas, I mean. And then it came back. And it was like 2 weeks had passed before I realized that it had come back. It was just 8 episodes like the first season. And we don't know when that next season's going to show up. But how do you guys feel about these short seasons like this?
It annoys me, especially growing up in like the 90s where seasons were like 24 episodes.
Yeah, I was about to mention that.
Yep.
Seasons were 8 episodes. Like, I'm okay with 12. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You did 8 and 6. Like, nah, that's too short.
Right. And you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I was going to say, rewatching the Netflix series is like 12 to 13 episodes when they're hour long seems like the perfect. Mm-hmm. Amount for a season. You can get just everything that you need in there. There's no room all that much room for filler.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but if they're going to be like, I don't know, half an hour episodes, I would want more, unless they're, you know, they have a story that they want to tell and they're like hitting all the beats and getting right to it. You know, I don't want it to drag out like an episode or like a season of, you know, Dragon Ball where it's like 50 episodes. Mm. There's so much stuff in between where that's irrelevant, but it sounds like Invincible is pretty to the point.
Yeah, they are. And to Jay's point, like some of these shows, you look back and you're like, oh, this was on for 4, 5, 6 years. You know, they must have like 6 seasons. Like, no. G.I. Joe had 3 seasons, but the seasons were like 30 or 28. So like in real life, you know, current current times, that's like, what did I say, 30, 28, so... Right. Right. Same thing with, was it Masters of the Universe? I think it was two seasons of that. It was like 60 episodes. A season. Same thing, it was crazy with Thundercats, was like that, and I just saw another show. I was like, these... Oh, that's what I was watching. I'm watching Living Single again right now, because I followed the show, but not like that. But I looked at the count. They did five seasons, and they had about 22 episodes. So that's almost, that's 10 seasons nowadays, maybe 20. You know, they, you know, it's incredible. So I don't know, you know, in Invincible, there's like a little segment where they broke the fourth wall and they were explaining animation and how long it takes and this and that. Rob, you mentioned a Netflix, I think you mentioned our Netflix show, Voltron. Now, I don't remember a long period of time. Voltron, they had elite animation and they were pumping those things out. I feel like they were dropping 2 to 3 episodes a year, not episodes, seasons a year. Now, some of them are like 4 or 5, and you know, but you know, you get like 12 episodes a year, like you're happy, with that. And I don't recall how many seasons there was of Voltron. I do not remember a long gap. I think
there were like 4.
There were how many?
I think there were like 4.
Oh, it was more than that. Hold on, let me check. I'm gonna check. It was more than that. But they weren't big seasons, you know what I mean? They were like a little miniatures. One season was extremely short. I'm gonna pull it up now.
Oh damn, 8.
There you go. So
man, 8. So right, 78 episodes.
So season 1, 11 episodes to Rob's, that's Rob's magic number, 11, and then it was 13, but like there are no like years on this, because season 3 had 7, then 4 had 6, 7, 13. So like, you know, it wasn't really consistent, but I don't remember like a gap, waiting a long time for those episodes to drop. I wish the seasons were longer. I do. But in the segment on Invincible, when they broke the fourth wall, they were saying, oh, cost and time is needed for this animation to be, you know, refined and published out. And I guess I can appreciate that. Especially with Disney and their effects, their quality control with their stuff, like they're, you know, they got to get it out. I mean, you can see the guys holding the signs in the background in their movies. It seems sometimes it's so bad, you know, but I guess there's a pros and cons to everything. Right. All right, one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about, it's three of us. Give me an underrated superhero movie. Now, one always comes to mind for me, but I'm going to let you guys go first. You can give me 2, 3, give me 1. But when it comes to mind, you're like, this is underrated. This is a good movie. It should get more acclaim, or you feel like it, you feel that way. If you never see this movie on lists when they talk about comic book movies, you're like, this was a good fucking movie. It should be on this list.
I think my first one, and I think over time it's gotten more recognition, but Blade, even Blade 2, like those first two Blades, I think they don't get as much credit as they deserve. Like, they literally kicked off the new wave of superhero movies.
You are very true.
Nobody gives them that much credit.
In the revised history, I know they point towards, like, X-Men and Spider-Man kind of kickstarting that. But you said it right, because I really can't say which one is better, Blade 1 or 2.
I think Blade 2 had better action.
It did.
Better choreography. especially with those crazy vampire mutant things. The, then you had Donnie Yen there too, with the kung fu. Like,
why does Donnie Yen always goes out like a sucker in these movies where he's where he's only choreographing? Like, he's not even like he's in it, but you can tell like he's in it because he's on set. Like just give us a couple of scenes, Donnie, please. He's like, all right, but I'm dying like as soon as I can, you know, like. Highlander, Endgame, he went out like, I'm like, how did he catch, how did he die that way? And then even in this, in Blade 2, he died not paying attention or something. It was just, I like the fight between Blade and, was it Nomad, Womat, whatever that, that alien, excuse me, that vampire was, the second fight at the end in the combat. That was like a schoolyard fight.
Throwing each other right. in pillars and stuff.
Suplexing and breaking each other's arms and elbow drops and all kinds of stuff. Like, they were trying to kill each other. All right, those are good ones. Mike.
This is one for the whole family. Sky High.
Dude, love that movie. You might have won. I wouldn't even think about it. Sky High is so good.
So good.
Sky High is so good. Like, and I might actually watch that this weekend. Dude, that movie is so good. Have you seen that before, Rob?
Never seen Sky High. No, I'd never gone around getting to see that yet.
Oh, let me look on Disney Plus for you. That's a Disney movie.
And it has to be on Disney.
It's so good. So good. And Kurt Russell's in it. A couple of people that you would know are in it, and it's really good. And quick premise of it: it's Kurt Russell and his wife. They're like the 1A and 1B superheroes in the world. Their kid doesn't have any powers, and they send him to their school where everybody with superhero with powers goes. Oh, and their son, their neighbor is the girl from Flash, the one that was Killer Frost. She was on there.
Okay. Yeah,
she was like maybe her teens. She was in her teens, and he doesn't get his powers until like. You know, he's in the school, he's like faking the funk, like he's lying to his dad, telling, you know, he's lifting up trucks and all this, and he's not. And when his powers kick in, he's like the popular kid and like the bullies, he's beating up the bullies and everything, and it's really good. You might have won, Jay. I don't even want to give mine, but that was really good. That was really good. Really good.
I got another one. I'll let you guys go.
Go ahead, Rob. What you got?
Well, the first one that comes to mind, I got a lot of shit for when it came out because it wasn't very true to his comic character. I would say the first Constantine movie with Keanu Reeves.
Oh, that is good.
It is. Yeah, I mean, fun. Shia LaBeouf wasn't too bad in it either.
Yeah.
For him being him.
You are...
What were you saying, Jay? Sorry. Oh, what were you saying, Jay?
Oh, no, I was saying that one was pretty good. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say that one. I really like who would have thought having Gavin Rosdale, the lead singer of Bush, being a demon would be a good idea, but he fit the role really well as a suave British man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one, and I think I'm oscillating between Scott Pilgrim and I think that one doesn't get as much recognition, but the other one I was going to say would be Watchmen.
That
one does get talked about a lot. I wouldn't say that one is underrated. I think it's underappreciated, personally.
And it's all about like your perception, about these films. That movie got killed when it came out. I do remember that. I'm still on Sky High, bro. What was the other one you had, Jay?
I was going to say Hellboy.
Okay, I didn't see
that. Yeah, yeah. The first one.
Yeah, first one.
Okay.
People don't talk about that one anymore.
first movie that always comes to mind, like the first Ninja Turtle movie, the like it'll never be that again. That was the last, like, you know, Nickelodeon is part owner of it now, so they'll never let it get to that point where they were kind of edgy. I love that movie. Like, that movie, you know, that was towards the end of the Jim Henson, when he was doing all the special effects for Hollywood, and, you know, he had these guys in these suits sweating to death probably in it, but they pulled it off. That movie's just good to me. So, like, I it should be higher on some lists, but I just have that one. Underrated flicks, I mean, it seems like everything in MCU is rated right where it is, and DC is maligned. Like, I was looking at another list, and people were taking a crap on BVS. I love that movie. Like, I love it.
I think it got better with the director's cut.
Oh, it did.
Absolutely.
It did.
I can see why people hate it, but the director's cut is like, come on, guys.
It fleshed out a lot of the motivation. Yeah, a lot of unnecessary
cuts. Yeah, a lot of unnecessary cuts there. And I will say that movie left a lot for the watcher to put together. Like, why didn't you just, like, leave this scene in or have somebody speak to it? But my one answer would be, it would be Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first one. But yeah, I'm still on Sky High. You gotta watch that this weekend, man. Hey, that's such a good movie. It's really a good movie.
I'll try to see it. I'm pretty sure it feels like a movie that's right up Ronnie's alley too. Yeah, yeah. Watch Party would be great as well.
Yeah, it's a kids movie. That's the thing. It's a legit kids movie, a Disney kids movie. So they do know how to make, They do know how to make good original stuff. They just choose not to.
And it's diverse without.
Yes, it is.
And they weren't trying. Like, it wasn't feeling checking the box.
It wasn't forced. It is organic. Oh, man. Yeah, you win, bro. You win. All right. You guys, you got anything else? I guess we can mention real quick Indiana Jones. I don't even know the name of the last movie. Lost $130 million.
What was it? It wasn't the Crystal Skull, because that was the last one.
Yeah,
it was the
Dial of Destiny.
Of Destiny. Yeah.
Did you guys watch that movie?
No.
I did. I did. So let me just give you a very high level. You talk about something going off the rails. Indiana Jones time traveled in that movie. Okay, I'm just going to leave it there. When this came out, I didn't see the point. We talked about The Matrix and shelf life for sequels. Indiana Jones shouldn't have made it out of the 80s. The movies had a certain vibe to it. They were kind of earthy, you know, they were out. It looked like on location on a couple of those movies. It just had a look. It was almost like it just had its own look. I forgot what they called these movies. Serials? I think that's what they called these movies. Anyway, but it the trilogy as it was, I'm not recognizing these other two movies. As they were, like, they were all good. They were all good, mm-hmm. And everybody has a different favorite. They just need to leave Indy where he is.
Yeah.
He's still riding off on the Last Crusade, ride home with his dad. Like, none of that other stuff happens. You know, aliens, time travel. That's not Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is finding artifacts, putting them in a museum. He's fighting Nazis or cultists or saving kids, and he's punching everybody. You know what? I don't, just keep them in the box. You know, you know. It's like, we talked about the hardest thing to do is just staying on topic on the path. Like, right? Yeah, right. Just hang tough. you know, see it through, but nobody's clamoring for nobody was asking for another Indiana Jones movie.
I'll stick with, you know, the classics.
Yes.
Temple of Doom, Last Crusade.
Right.
Holly Mom. That's all I need.
It's different ones too. Like the kids are around, you can put in Last Crusade with Sean Connery. The kids are in bed, you can watch Temple of Doom. If they're like hanging around, you can put in the first one, even though you tell them to close their eyes at the end when everybody's face is melting off. You know?
They get that one. They got to mature at some point.
Maybe talk about that next week. The first
put
movie.
Put your hands down. Don't cover your eyes. Yeah.
The first movie your parents. Melt. I remember. Do I remember the first movie?
Conan was my first movie.
It might have been Big Trouble in China where my mom's like, y'all can watch this. I mean, I think it might have been that one. And it was cussing.
My mom says that she didn't let us watch that.
Oh, man. My mom was like, I watch it.
She just got the new Betamax. We went on the Blockbuster. I was like, I want to see this. Mom, we rented Conan the Barbarian. Popped it in, me and my buddy. We watched it.
Early, yeah. Early Schwarzenegger, you might have seen it all. They said titties and all, right. Yeah.
How old was that? That movie came out of what, like 84?
Early 80s, yeah, my early 80s.
I was probably like 8.
Your mom just saw Barbarian. She's like, ain't no titties in this movie. Like, you know, right? Where is this?
Go there having sex with witches and throwing them in the fire. The
I guess, and your dad probably knew. Like, you let him watch what? Oh, all right.
Me and my homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
And my boy Wendell.
Yeah, I gotta talk about that maybe another day.
Yeah, the 80s was a different time, man. We got to see everything.
Yeah, see, you know, PG ratings in the 80s.
PG might be R
now. Yeah, PG in the 80s. PG in the 80s, you definitely seeing some titties in there. It's definitely right. Happening. It's definitely happening. Definitely happening. So, yeah, it was definitely a wild time. And it's funny, so I was watching... talking about ratings, I was listening to some YouTube interview, whatever. They were talking about why shit was added in the Transformers, the movie. And they said that the belief is that it was added so they can get the PG-13 rating because they play on more theaters than PG. Movies and movies.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
I was like,
maximize. Like,
and I'm gonna find the list. Transformers bombed in the theater. I don't remember that, but you should see.
I believe it.
You should see the movies it went up against. Whoever did the scheduling, it wasn't like regular movies. They're like, these are fucking great movies. Like, I would watch those movies before I watched that. I'm like, oh damn. Like, yeah, I would go see this before. I gotta find that video again. It went up against heavy hitters. Its destiny was to lose in the theater, like going up against those movies. You gotta pay attention to what's happening. And then it just seemed like nobody understood the movie except for the kids watching it. So
right.
Yeah, it's funny. It's really funny how you know, you look back, you remember it one way when it was really this way. I just remember leaving it out the theater crying. That's all I remember.
Hurt.
Like nothing compared. Nothing will ever compare to Prime riding in because it was looking bad, and he just fucking saved everybody. It's like, oh, it's going to be right. It's going to be the same ending in the shows or whatever. And then, you know, even though people dying, he's saving. He's running through them. And then Megatron, you know, I'm going to beat you with your bare hands, picks up everything in the yard. He throws a rock, like a lightsaber was out there. He picked up somebody else's gun.
He's an axe, everything.
Right. But, yeah, it was heartbreaking because...
stay out the way,
Hot Rod. Stay out the way. Like, Even
how to make it to you afterwards, like, after you screwed up.
Like, they have been fighting for millions of years. You're going to make the difference today? Like, Hot Rod.
Right?
How are you? Like, I gotta save him. Like, oh, like, we should have thought of this before. That being said, Hot Rod was cool in that movie, and that was his peak, because he wasn't a good leader. Wasn't a good leader at all.
He can never... Ever since that, I've always hated Hot Rod.
Me too.
He's never been redeemed.
Unsure of himself. Like, he was quick to give up leadership whenever anybody... Oh, you can be leader. Like, I don't want it anymore. Like...
Was he the one that became Rodimus?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Okay.
He was cool that whole fucking movie. He really was. And that third season is wild too, though. Like, who we talk about animators, like the team from the first two seasons, they were gone. Like, as far as like scaling was all wrong, like, it was just all wrong. It was all wrong. All wrong. But, you know, it's just funny how you remember it. I'm watching G1 right now. I'm in season two. And I saw somebody take a shot right to their chest from Megatron. And he's like, ah, he fell. And then he got up.
They hit him with the black hole.
They hit him with the black hole. He got hit. And the guy just got up later. It's like, oh, They're like, oh, can you transform? Like, yeah, I think so. And he was okay. Movie came, got like sparks flying out of people's eyes. Right. But yeah, we think we should talk about that too another time. I never get tired of talking about that movie. All right, so this is like a good spot to wrap up here, guys.
I got one thing. Go ahead. In lieu of Tosh, mm-hmm. I have to put some anime out there for you guys. All right, people need to watch Solo Leveling. I know some people are saying it's mid, but to me, it's the highlight of this season of anime.
Okay.
If people don't know what it is, Power Leveling is it's not from a manga. It's from a Korean manga. I know you guys hate to say it properly. It's called a manga. Uh-huh. It's basically a manga. And I guess it's like the original Power Leveling fantasy. So it's about a character who kind of like they get killed. It's almost like the Windows, like you get reborn in another world, but they're getting reborn in the same world with like a video game power. So it's like the dude comes back and like he has like a video game system in his life. So he's like leveling up as he's fighting.
What?
He's like in his own little like RPG. So he's getting like, you know, you get hit points and you're getting like your strength stat. He's like, okay, I'll put like 5 points of strength and blah, blah, blah. I got to do my daily quests and all that. So he's like, he's in a world where there are already people with superpowers, but his superpowers were real whack. Like he was like the bottom of the barrel, but now he's like leveling up and becoming stronger. And it's just like him becoming like a badass. And like, you see him, like his evolution of badassery, I guess if that's a word. Like,
yeah, that's a word.
Like, starts off looking real corny, like a nerd. But as he's like leveling up, he's like getting more like cool, more suave. Like he's getting a little taller. The chicks and stuff look at him like, hey, wait, was he always that sexy? Like,
what's this dream like?
It's on Crunchyroll.
Okay.
But it's real like, and I'm watching that and I'm like, I think I get it now. I think I'm understanding why like I haven't been as like excited about comic books as I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is just like a totally different take on something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's exciting. Like, it's a different, like, it's not the same story. It's like creative. Like, who would have thought to have like a guy, like his superpower is just like a video game system. And it's like, it is dope. Like, it's not corny.
That is interesting.
And he's like fighting bosses. Like he's walking up to these doors. He's like, oh, that's a boss door. Like, that's definitely a boss. And he's walking in there and it's like a boss and he has to fight. Like, I don't know. It's dope.
You sound excited. I never hear excited about anything. Okay.
It's like waking up with a stat screen and an experience bar over your head. It's like, oh, exactly. Wait.
He's like, what is this? And he's like, what's going on? He has to ask his little sister how to like play video games because he doesn't know anything about video games. Yeah, so he gets a little honey, and he's like, "Oh man, about to clap some cheeks." He's going awry, like he doesn't really get the cheeks, but you're hoping.
You might actually, that does sound interesting enough for me to check and see if I have access to that. I think I have Crunchyroll through Amazon, I think, or
you might
Max. I checked that out. I tried to get on Disney, but I forgot to update my payment method. I didn't update the card. I got a new card and didn't put it in, so I got to do that afterwards. I hate it.
I hate getting new cards. I have my card ratty and torn up. It's like, no, I don't want to get a new card because I'm going to have to update everything.
Dude, I don't even look to update stuff. I just wait for something to cut off. And I'd be like, oh, okay, I gotta update this. I gotta update this. So, all right. There's the reminder here. But that's all I got right now, guys. Anything else, Robert?
No, I'm still just playing around with Helldivers with Tim and Lou and my friend Robin. He's been on the show. I'm kind of getting, and I started a new character in Elden Ring. I think I mentioned that before. Just getting it ready for the expansion. But yeah, beyond that, just busy with work and stuff.
Okay. All right. So
still watching through all the Netflix shows. We watched them all out of order. So far we've watched Jessica Jones, mm-hmm. then we watched Luke Cage, and now we're watching Daredevil.
Okay. Yeah, that's a
simpler time when those things came out.
Yeah, first wave was classic TV. I'm actually on Netflix now, but I'm watching Walking Dead. I've decided I'm going to try to get through all these seasons. I'll probably finish at the end of the year or whatever, but a lot of people died on that show. I mean, I know that's not a surprise, but, but Jesus, Shane, he was one of the better characters. He was not around for a long time, but a lot of things would have been different if he was still around, because he understood sooner than Rick did, and Rick actually transformed into Shane as it was the show went on. But I know exactly when I stopped watching the show, so let's get to that point and try to get through that and see how this ended. Because I actually watched the last episode of The Walking Dead last year. I had no idea what the hell was going on. And they were like in a town and shit was blowing up, and it was a lot. And it ended with Daryl. He left the town. I don't know why he left. The people were going in separate ways, like the world was safe again. So I was like, well, let me start over and see how this. Let's get back on a journey and try to finish that up. Maybe track down some of these spinoffs. So, all right, guys, we had as always, a nice talk with the comic gents here. We'll end it here, and we'll see what's happening in the multiverse through the next couple days. Maybe we'll come back next week. Maybe we'll take a break. But if everyone listening, please tell a friend, you know, check us out. They like comics, TV, all that good stuff. Check us out. Check us out.
Anything, you know, comics, movies, games, you know, just where your source.
Yep. And I like that plug. That was rehearsed there. Yeah, that was good. Then you had to pay for it. Yeah. Check us out. On Spotify, Apple, a bunch of stuff. Look for Multiverse Unlimited podcast, and you'll find us. So with that, we will get out of here because we're old men that read comics and we're tired. So with that, check you out. See you later. All that good stuff.
Avita Zay.
Good night, y'all.
Peace out.